This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. It turns out next week is going to be Infrastructure Week, folks. That's when Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said this morning that he is going to start the actual voting process for the first of two big infrastructure packages the White House wants to get done. $1.2 trillion is the price tag on the first one, $3.5 on the second one. And in a way, if you stop to think about it, that is how much money the White House and at least some Democrats in Congress think it takes to make this economy run the way it ought to. So we got Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo on the phone to talk infrastructure and supply chains and what this economy needs to be able to do what they want it to. Madam Secretary, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
So let me climb right in with the news of the day. A tidbit from the Federal Reserve this morning about factory production, and I'll just read you the first sentence from Bloomberg. Output of U.S. factories unexpectedly declined in June against a backdrop of persistent supply shortages and soaring materials costs. You're in charge now. Infrastructure is your thing. What's the plan?
Yes. So, listen, we have a serious disruption in a lot of our supply chains, which we shouldn't be surprised by, right? Because a year ago during COVID, we essentially shut the economy down, and now we're trying to open it back up again. So we are doing everything we know how to do to reopen the economy and increase supply, which, by the way, will also bring down prices. I know folks are talking about inflation, so we got to increase supply to bring down prices.
You have said that our supply chains make us vulnerable, that it is a national security risk. They are, because there's more than one supply chain, a national security risk and an economic security risk.
I think that's right. Specifically around semiconductors, you know, everything we do, everything digital requires semiconductors, everything. And we don't make enough semiconductors in America. We actually don't make any of the most sophisticated semiconductors. And so absolutely, we are vulnerable. So right now, before Congress, is a proposal to make a $52 billion investment in the semiconductor industry in America.
Is that enough, do you think?
I think it's a fantastic beginning. And yes, it is enough. It's enough to stimulate production of chips in America. And oh, by the way, create a lot of jobs doing it.
Let's talk for a second about the infrastructure plans that are moving through Congress. I'm sure you saw in your packet of briefing materials that you got this morning, as I'm sure every cabinet secretary gets, that Senator Schumer is going to put the first package, the bipartisan package, on the floor of the Senate, I think, next week. It occurs to me that look, $4.5 trillion all in on both packages is a whole lot of money. Is it enough?
It's an excellent question. So first of all, that's great news. Secondly, this, whatever comes out Wednesday and thereafter, is a product of compromise. So it is not all that the president proposed, but it's, you know, multi-trillions of dollars. It will be the biggest bipartisan infrastructure bill ever in our country's history. So yes, if we're able to land the plane on these packages, it'll be a great day in America.
I want to talk about the second half of the Biden administration's infrastructure plan. There is the hard infrastructure plan, the bipartisan plan, including, you know, roads, bridges, broadband of concern to you specifically in your portfolio, but also the $3.5 trillion plan that is geared toward what has come to be called the care economy. And you have said, look, competitiveness is my remit here at Commerce. And if we don't do the care economy right, we're not going to be competitive. So I guess my question, and it follows on the question about whether or not $4.5 trillion is enough money all in, what happens if we don't get the care economy right?
That will be devastating. Devastating to the millions of women who work in the care economy, many of whom work full-time and are poor because they make so little. It will be devastating to the millions of working women who won't be able to participate in the labor market because they can't find care for their sick and elderly parents or their kids. Every other major country has paid family leave, universal public pre-K, a better system of caring for elderly loved ones in their home. We don't. We're behind. It makes us uncompetitive as a nation. And as you know, as you've talked about, women just got crushed during COVID. Yeah. Dropped out of the labor force like nothing we've ever seen. Millions are still out of the labor force. And I don't know your personal situation, Kai, but I have a 90-year-old mother.
Yeah.
She's wheelchair bound, doesn't want to be in a nursing home, shouldn't be in a nursing home. And so we have a care team for her. And it's even with an awesome care team, it's still really hard to get it all together. But my brother is at work as a doctor, my sister's a college professor, and I'm in the cabinet. And that's like necessary.
Yeah.
Well, so for what we can do.
So let me ask you this, just as on the way out here. You're a woman with an incredibly high power job that takes probably 26 out of every 24 hours of the day. How much of your time and mental, right? I mean, come on, it's true, right? How much of your time and mental energy do you spend thinking about your mom and then, you know, translate that down to a woman making less than a minimum wage trying to get by, you know?
I know. Honestly, I do not know how women do it. It's a daily, every day you spend some time thinking about it or trying to coordinate care or doing something. And I am super, super lucky. And by the way, think about the women who provide the care.
Yep.
You know, we have to take care of them because they take care of our loved ones. And they're, you know, they're making like $11 an hour with no sick leave. It's a very vulnerable system, and I hope that Congress can shore it up and get something done.
Gina Raimondo, she's the Secretary of Commerce. Madam Secretary, thanks for your time, ma'am. I appreciate it.
Thank you.